Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
We're on the eve of Lag BaOmer, as you just may have heard if you were awake, which I hope you were. And not only did you hear about it, but rather, on the eve of Lag BaOmer, when we speak about the Zohar, the hidden parts of Judaism, things that we've heard of but we never dared touching, or we maybe heard of and we touched a bit, I thought today would be appropriate on Erev Lag BaOmer to speak about the following topic. Do you have to be more frumer than God and the rabbis? Meaning Hashem said, you're not allowed to write two letters on Shabbos. Came along the Chachamim and said that you're not even allowed to write one letter on Shabbos. Maybe we should be frumer than both and not write at all. Or the Chachamim, we paskin, lahalacha, that you're not allowed to eat meat and milk mida oraisa and chicken and milk mida rabbanan. Maybe Bruce is going to make a gezeira, you shouldn't eat chicken at all, or meat for that matter, because you may do what? Mix it with milk. Is there such a notion to be more frumer than God and the rabbis? What do you say? Is there such a notion?
In Borough Park, yes.
In Borough Park, yes. Please, no names.
You're a coach.
Gentlemen, there is such a notion, but not in the ways you think. There is a notion in Judaism saying that what they might say, what people might think, happens to be a consideration in halacha. And I'm not talking about maritain. That's a totally different shear. I'm talking about the halacha is X, and everything what you're doing is 100% fine, but because they may say this, you can't do it. And let's see four examples today if we get to it. Example number one. Everybody knows that there's Jews from birth, meaning we're screwed. We got 613 mitzvot as opposed to 7 Noahide commandments. What are you going to do? That's the way it is, Harold. But there are people that actually choose to become Jewish. What do we call them in Jewish?
Meshuggah.
Yes. Meshuggah converts. So the Meshuggah convert converts. Amar Rav Nachman. Yevamos kaf bet amud aleph, top of the source sheet. Gerim. Converts. Ho'il va'atu lididan. Once they come to us, name of humilta. Once they become Jewish, they're part of the Jewish people. This is what we're going to say about them. Achin min ha'em. If they have brothers from their mother's side, lo ya'idu. They shouldn't testify for them because they're related. A relative doesn't testify for you. V'himi'idu edotam edut. But if they did testify, their testimony is testimony. Why? After all, my brother, my sister can't testify for me. My sister, because she's pasul le'edus, she's a woman. And my brother's pasul le'edus because he's a relative. So how come here it's okay? Let's go a step further. Achin min ha'ab, brothers from the father, me'edin l'chadchila. They can even be your witnesses. Even it's from your mother's side, they can be witnesses.
Because the same way you can.
Why?
Your sister, theoretically, is if you're both Gerim, you're no longer related.
Yafeh, says Norman.
Yeah.
Norman says, look at the bold lines. Ve'ger shenit gayer, ke'katan shenol adami. Why is their testimony okay? Because we have an ironclad rule that says that once you convert, you come out of the mikvah. It's like you come out of, what is the name? What is the name of the liquid in the mother's womb?
Embryotic.
The embryotic fluid. Pretend the mikvah's embryotic fluid. They come out. They're like a new baby coming out. And all the relations they had prior don't exist. Kekatan shenol adami. Now, this is not just a nice notion. We see that nafkamina, your brother and your biological sister, can be witnesses for you. You're not related halachically. More than that. What? We'll get to it in a minute. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Hager Shenit Gayer Hu Uvanav. Let's say a whole family converted together. Ein Mitablin Zelze. Father dies. You don't have to sit Shiva. You don't have to rip your shirt. You don't have to do anything. Why?
Why do it that time?
Because you're not related. Ger. Shenit gayer kekatan shenolad dami.
Does that mean a brother and sister can marry each other?
According to this, yes. Let's see. Wait.
Yeah, where do we
wait, that's the halacha. We're going to get to what we do today. Now, just one more nafkamina. We talked about testimony. We spoke about avelus. What else can be a nafkamina? Yamod!
Bet
The Michigan Agair, what's his name?
Abraham.
Ben. Abraham. Abraham? His father's name is Abraham? No. You forgot something. Yamod, Abraham Ben. Avraham Avinu. Hilchos Gittin. Beger get ger. If a convert wants to get divorced, Kotev Ploni Bain Avraham Avinu. You don't write his father's name because ger shenit gayer ke katan shenolad dami. So this year is dedicated to the memory of my father, Areni Kaparat Mishkavot Svi Meir Ben Moshe Yonatan, Zichrono Levracha. So I'm related to my father for life. Therefore, I sat Shiva, Shloshim, saying Kaddish. But this ger has a father, has a mother. We don't believe in the A conception that every other, that certain other religion believes in. But halachically, they don't. So you don't sit Shiva, and you don't write the father's name in a ger, in a get, or in a ketubah. And they can be witnesses. So Norman said, wait a minute, can you marry your sister?
I didn't say that. My question was why the Hakila, the first one, said that the brother feels.
So, now we'll get to it. And that comes into what I called the shir today, what they might say. Look on the left side of the page. Right side is halacha. Left side is what they might say. Right side is what it says, let's say, in Shulchan Aruch. And left side it says what's going to say about you in the Jewish press. Everyone ready? Yes, Bruce.
Is this where we have halachic reality verse?
No. Halachic, oh yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes, this is the halachic reality versus real reality. Yes, this is one of the examples. Okay. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim says as follows. Hager asul lekalel ha-aviv ha-akum v'la-hakotom. Well, everybody knows, we read in the last few weeks Parsha, makeh aviv v'imo mot-yumot, you're not allowed to strike your parents, you're not allowed to curse your parents. So we just said that this is a guy's a convert, so his parents are not his parents halachically. So maybe he comes out of the mikveh, he makes a shahako, takes a little drink of alcohol, a little tipsy. Oh, my parents are not my parents anymore. Baseball bat. Hit his father on the head. Not my father anymore. Then he goes to his mother, a little nicer, and curses her out. Says the Rambam, Hager asur lekalel aviv ha'akum v'la'akoto v'lo yevazeyu. Why? They're not related. Why? Kedei shelo yomru. Translate.
People shouldn't say,
the people will say, oh, he got a good deal. You called him a Meshiggah? He's not a Meshiggah, he got a great deal. Till Monday, before he went into the mikvah, he had to honor his parents. Every time his mother or father called, he had to answer their phone call. Every time they asked him to go get medicine and go here, he had to do it. Now he got a good deal. He no longer has to honor his parents. So what are people going to say? He used to be on a high level of sanctity, and now he's on a lower level of sanctity. He used to get up when his father came into the room and give him his chair. Now his father comes into the room, he says, take a hike, I'm sitting here first. So all the people are going to say, hey, you got a good deal. You used to be on a higher level of sanctity, and now you went down. In order for people not to say that, you should still honor your parents, and you should, God forbid, not strike them. What?
Why do you have to do it before? What's the one?
It could have been one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. There's a big machlokas, what's the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach? And we come out to about 10, when you do just the count, is more than Sheva. We say Sheva, but there's probably a bit more. It also depends how you divide them up. The Ger, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, the following, regarding our case, and that's exactly the case that Norman mentioned, but a little different. Din Torah, according to the Torah, Shemutar lo Ger Sheisaimo, a convert can marry his mother, his sister, and everyone. But the rabbi said no. Kedei shelo yomru. Again, they might say in the Jewish press, Ba'o mikdusha chamura likdusha kala.
It's a cough instead of a cough.
In other words, the bottom line is, you're allowed to, but they may say, hey, it's a wonderful convert. Yesterday you're not allowed to do this, and now you can. So in order for them not to say it, we're machmir on honoring your parents. We're machmir on marriage. And according to one day in the Gemara, Norman, on Eidut. Case number one, halacha is absolutely fine, but because people might talk, might say that, hey, instead of going up in sanctity, you went down in sanctity, we don't do it.
I would have thought not the Jewish press, but the Goyish press. They're going to say, look at this, he became a Jew, and now he acts like a schmutz. He doesn't give kavod to his parents.
I accept your correction. The guy is oppressed too. Forbidden food, forbidden for non-Jews. So let's say there's a certain food forbidden for non-Jews. Everyone's going to look at me and say, what are you talking about? We have all the laws of kashrus. They can eat anything they want. The only issur they have is ever minachai. They can't take a pulkele off a live chicken and eat it. They have to kill the chicken first. But there's no shechita, there's no melicha. Their meat is not as expensive as ours. But
they can't eat from a korban pesach.
Having said that, there is... They can't eat from a korban pesach, but they can eat many other things that we can't eat. So the pasuk says in Sefer Vayikra, "V'isha alti asher tikav kol beimar liriv'ah ota va'arakta et ha'isha v'et ha'beimah." If a woman approaches any beast to mate with it, you shall kill the woman and the beast. The Rambam paskins, "V'lokhin kol ha'korbanot min ha'akum ve'en choshashim lahem lo mishum rova v'nirba." So you all know that an animal that had some sort of relationship with a woman, meaning a human being and an animal, you can't bring as a korban to the mizbeach. And you have to kill the animal and the woman according to the pshat of the pasuk. And the Rambam says, having said that, if you take it from a non-Jew who doesn't have this prohibition, it's okay, because we say most non-Jews don't do that. Most normal human beings don't do that. Having said that, in the Sefer Chassidim, by definition, likes to be frumer than God. These are not the Hasidim that we know of from the 17th century. These are the early Hasidei Ashkenaz, says, "Im yesh davar sha'anochim nohagim bo isur, v'la Yehudim eino asur." There's something out there that the non-Jews don't eat, but the Jews have no prohibition, not in the Torah, not in the rabbis, to eat. Anyone have an example?
Sumac.
Okay, don't know what that is.
Poisonous plant.
A poisonous plant, I think non-Jews will not eat either. Anything non-Jews don't eat and Jews will eat, let's say, whatever it might be, says the Sefer Chassidim, Asur liyodi sheyochal, pen yitchalel shem shamayim al yado, because it will create a chilul Hashem. So in terms of halacha, you can eat it, but it might be a chilul Hashem, and here's the example he gives. Kegon nochri, shera'a shenochri chaviro rava behima. So he sees one guy, sees another guy mating an animal with a woman. And he tells his non-Jewish friends, don't eat from it, that animal is invalidated. And you sell it to a Jew, Rambam just paskin, not a problem. Simple halacha is, a non-Jew has no ne'emanut, namely he can't say to me, this is forbidden for you and this is permitted for you. You have to be Jewish to say that. But since the non-Jews are not eating it because of a prohibition in the Holy Bible, you also shouldn't eat it. So again, halacha says fine. Halachically, a non-Jew cannot forbid something upon you, but because of the Chilul Hashem aspect, you shouldn't do it. Example number three, this is the most famous example. Who here is a Daf Yomi person? Norman and Harold. Norman and Harold, did you learn Daf Yomi in the last week? You're in Meseches Bechoros. So in Meseches Bechoros, there is a beautiful sugya where one of the wonderful rabbis said something and asked a question, and the rabbi said, let me sleep on it. Do you remember the Gemara? And he woke up in the morning and said, I remember the Brisa. And then a guy named Rav Idi went to shul, went to the Beis Medrash, and didn't say it in his name. And what happened to Rav Sheshet, who came up with this great idea? He went very upset, and he said, May you get stung by a stinging bee. May you do this. Why? Because you bring Geula because of all the reasons the Gemara said. I think it's Bechoros Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Bet. Right? We just learned it last week in the Daf Ayomi. So, according to that Gemara, after reading that Gemara and feeling terrible for Rav Sheshet, is there a prohibition? What do you say, Harold? You learned it. Was there a prohibition? Or was just not the right thing to do?
It was not the right thing to do.
You should have said it in his name. Never said there it's usher. If it said gneva, lo tignov, copyright. Didn't say that. It said, may you be stung by a bee and it's terrible. And if a person dies and you say something in his name, his lips begin to move in the kever, in the grave. It's so beautiful. But prohibition, it doesn't say. See, when the Gemara goes on and on and on about how terrible something is, you understand there's no isser. They're just saying it's a terrible thing. So copyright is an issue then. It was an issue throughout the ages. It's an issue today. So leaving secular law aside a second, we all know that in secular law, if someone wrote a book and you quoted from it in your name, you will be sued and you will pay out of your nose. Now, halachically, here is the situation. There's probably nothing wrong with that. There's probably nothing wrong with copying a CD, even though it says on it, it is absolutely yasur apia alacha to copy the CD, copyright all the rabbanim sets up. As my Rebbe used to say, Rav Luchtenstein zecher tzadik levracha, if you copy, then there was a tape to a tape. Thank God we're in a room, I don't have to explain what a tape is. But it was a tape to a tape. He said, you can copy a tape from a tape. There's no halachic isser. Statement one, statement number two, but you won't get the kedoshim to hear your award. I think that's a nice, nice statement. Kedoshim to hear your award. So, the Shaul Meshiv. Who's the Shaul Meshiv? Rav Shaul Natanzon. Rav Shaul Natanzon comes along, if you know the famous lawyer in America that's always there on the cases with from Jews in Washington. What's his name?
Nathan.
Nathan?
Huh? Nathan
Lewin. Lewin. This is his great whatever grandfather. Masha katav odot haskamot v'gzeirot shegozrim harabbanim alat pasalt. All the rabbanim in certain generations said, if you printed a gemara, no one can print the gemara for 20 years. You got the copyright. And everyone prints whatever they want, they can care less. You got your Gemara, I'm going to print my Gemara. You got Talmud, I'll print Oz Vahadar. You got Oz Vahadar, I'll print Eshet Chayil Gemaras. Whatever it is, everyone's printing, and the Rabbanim are saying, if you print the Gemara, you're going to take the Parnassa away from printing house number one. V'hine kol dvarav t'muhim, says the Shalom HaMeshiv. Deze vadai shesefer chadash hematpis michaver. Vezecha shedvarav mitkablim al pitei dvel. Pshita sheyesh lo zchut bezeh leolam. He says, it's absolutely clear to me that if someone prints something, he has the copyright. Okay, so I started reading the Tshuva, and I'm looking. What am I looking for? Where's your source? De'ita ba'gemara? Does it say that? No. De'ita ba'chomesh? No. De'ita ba'divrei hayamim? Let's say divrei hayamim. No one learns that. It's somewhere at the end of the Tanakh. Gornish von Helfen. It's not right, and this, that. And then he writes like this. Ve'lo yihiyet torash lema shelanu, kesicha betela shelahem, v'zedavar sha'asechem makchisho. Rav, the Shalom Meshiv Paskins, why is copyright wrong? Not because there's a halacha somewhere, not because there's a gemara somewhere, but what are the words he uses? Sha'asechel makchisho. People will look and say, it's not right. It's just not right. A guy finally printed an obscure manuscript into a book, and he wants to sell it, and he invested a lot of money, and you go ahead and print it. You're taking away his parnasa. Is there an actual case of monopoly issue here? No. But haseichel makhisho. So we saw three examples already today. One is that you have to honor your parents after you got converted. Number two, can you eat food that's halachically okay, but a non-Jew says it's usher. And number three, copyright. Now let's get to number four. And this I say, if you came to shir today, you should pay me for this one. I don't know if you know, but there is a gezeira that makes no sense. But it's a gezeira of Chazal, it's in the Mishnah and the Gemara and everything. And it made sense at the time, but today it doesn't make sense. And I'll explain. The Mishnah in Meseches Moed Katan, Paragimel, Mishnah Aleph. This is why in Moed Katan, which is supposed to talk about Chol HaMoed, when you get to the third parak, all of a sudden you get all the laws of Avelus. Why? Eilu Megalchin B'Moed. The following people are the only ones that are allowed to take a shave, flash, haircut on Chol HaMoed. Open the parentheses. Anytime the Mishnah, the Gemara says the word Megalchin, it can mean one of three things. Haircut, shave, or both of the above. I don't know what it means here, but let's keep that aside. Let's assume it means all of the above. These are the people that can take a shave and a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Haba min bidinat hayam u min beit ha-shivya. God came from a long trip, he was in captivity, and he could not take a shave and shower for a long time, and finally he gets out on Chol HaMoed, he can take a shave because his hair is very, very, very hard on him. He can barely eat because he has the mustache hairs covering his mouth. He can take a shave on Chol HaMoed. Hayotze mi beit ha-asurin, he comes out of jail. Hamin nude, the guy who's in cherem, she'itiru lo chachamim, etc., etc., etc. So the Gemara asks, "V'shar kol adam my time of asurin." So I know who can shave on Chol HaMoed. Why is it I who was not in jail, I who didn't come from a long trip? Why can't I shave on Chol HaMoed? Answers the Gemara, Kiditnan, as we learned in the Mishnah, Anshe Mishmar v'Anshe Maimad, the people that would pray in the Beis HaMikdash, that the korbanos, that the Kohanim brought on behalf of the congregation. For example, which korban did we bring this morning, if there was a Beis HaMikdash? A korban tamid. So who were the three groups involved in the korban tamid? Harold's doing what we call team spirit. Kohanim, he's a Kohen. Next. Leviim, they sang the Shir Shel Yom. Kohanim brought the korban, Shechita, Kabbalah Adam, Holacha, and Zrikat Adam. The Leviim sang the Shir Shel Yom of Wednesday, right? As we said in the davening this morning, Ayom Yom Revi B'Shabbat Shebo, Ayu HaLeviim Omrim B'Veit HaMikdash. And the third group were the Yisraelim who would pray to God that the korban be accepted. Those are the people we're talking about. Anshe Mishmar v'Anshe Maimat. Asurim L'Saper V'Lechabes. They can't take a haircut and they can't wash their clothing. Uvechamishim Mutarim B'Pnei Kvod HaShabbat. But on Thursday they can for the honor of Shabbos. V'Amar Rabba Barachan Amar V'Lechazar. My time. Why can't they shave? Kedei Shelo Yikantzu L'Mishpatan K'Shehen Menuvalim. You see, if we say to them, the minute you're on duty, you can't shave, what are they going to do? The day before, they're going to shave. Ha'chanami, with regard to Cholam Moed, kidei shelo yikansu laregel kesheheim menuvalin. The Chachamim did something interesting. You should look beautiful, you should look handsome on Cholam Moed, but they made a gezerah not to shave on Cholam Moed because they were worried about the following. People in Chutz Laaretz, it's hard for me to explain it, because Cholam Moed is a regular day of work. But in Israel, where we're all off on Cholam Moed, after getting ready for Pesach and cleaning the house and screaming at the children. Or in the 4 or 5 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, you try to get a sukkah and a lulav and everything together. Finally, Chol HaMoed comes. Ah, I'm off from work. Went to a late minyan. I'll take a good breakfast. I got time now. So I'll do the laundry. And I'll take a shave. And I'll take a haircut. I got time. But before Yom Tov, I had no time. If that would be the case, what would happen? People would walk into the first night of Yom Tov looking like?
Bum.
Not a bum. Slobs. They looked like slobs. In order to prevent that, the Chachamim said, don't shave a Chol HaMoed. The minute you heard you couldn't shave a Chol HaMoed, they shaved on Erev Chol HaMoed. On Erev Yom Tov, to be precise. That, by the way, is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch straight, and there's no issue. Does that apply today to someone that shaves every day? I'm not going to go into that question now. Big question. But I want to read a tshuva from an Italian posek. The Italian world is its own world unto itself, both in their nusach of davening and in their psak halacha. It's not the normative psak halacha that you read. It's not a Rav Moshe Feinstein, I know to be Yehuda, Chasam Sofer. It's a bit different. So let's see, Rav Yitzchak Shmuel Rigo, whatever, I don't know how to pronounce his name, wrote in a book called Tiglachat Becholo Shel Moed, edited by Professor Meir Ben Ayau Zichrono Levracha. His father was Rabbeinu, Chief Rabbi of Israel, Rav Nisim. Have you heard of the Sephardic Chief Rabbi of Israel, Rav Nisim?
Yep.
Who didn't hear of Rav Nisim? Raise your hand. Hint, the Pope. When the Pope came to Israel in 1964, the Chatzov said, I'm not coming to Jerusalem. I don't want to acknowledge that Jerusalem belongs to Jews. So he went to Megiddo. And Levi Yeshko went to meet him. The President of Israel went to meet him. The Ashkenazi Chief Rabbi went to meet him. Who didn't go? Rav Nisim. Said, hey, we're equals. He's the Pope. I'm the Pope of the Jewish people. I'll go to him. He comes to Jerusalem to Hecha Shlomo to my office. He don't want to come to me. I'm not going to him. His son is Meir Ben Ayau. Meir Ben Ayau's son, his name is Hanan Ben Ayau. His claim to fame, he was my chavrusa. I'm joking. My claim to fame was I was his chavrusa. So, in this book called Tiglachat Shel Moed, talking about this, he talks about the following. The biggest problem with this gezeira is, as I heard from my Rebbe Rav Lichtenstein, it was a Frankenstein gezeira, meaning they made a gezeira and the opposite happened. And this tshuva says it. Sharayim shalu anochrim leisha Yisraeli. If the non-Jews in Italy will say to the Jews celebrating Chol HaMoed Pesach or Chol HaMoed Sukkos, madua tamenuval biyemei simchatcha? Why do you look like a slob on your day of happiness? Yuchach la'ashiv lehem, he'll have to say, m'pnei shechazal tzivu alai shelo yeh menuval, shelo yeh menuval. Why do you look like a slob on the second day Chol HaMoed? Because the rabbis made a gzera that I shouldn't look like a slob. No, you didn't understand my question. I'll say it again. Why do you look like a slob on the second day of Chol HaMoed? Answer, because the rabbis didn't want me to look like a slob. Does that make sense to anyone?
No.
The rabbis made a gzera, don't shave on Chol HaMoed, shave on Erev Yontiv, so that you won't look like a slob on Chol HaMoed. What's the result? Everyone looks like a slob on Chol HaMoed, they don't shave. Continues, V'im yitma shoel alzot, and if the questioner, the inquirer, the non-Jew would say, that doesn't make sense to me, because it doesn't make sense to us, and we're Jewish, Yosef lomar, ve'ech efshash ta'over ha-takanatam kedei lekayem takanatam. I'm going to read that again. Ve'ech efshar sha'ata over ha-takanatam kedei lekayem takanatam. Who wants to translate? You're not supposed to look like a slob? So how do you violate their own enactment in order to fulfill their enactment? It's like a guy at job is supposed to look nice, and he walks into shul for mincha with a big red stain on his white shirt because he spilled wine on it. And you say to him, why do you have a white stain on your shirt? And the answer is, because it's the holy Shabbos, you're supposed to look nice. Yeah, but you got a stain on your shirt. Go explain, it's an Isser on Shabbos called Libun, you're not allowed to launder, and therefore, oy, 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 I can't do it. So it's like the catch 22. You're supposed to eat three meals on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to cook them. Catch 22 over here. You're supposed to look nice on Chol HaMoed, so the rabbi said, don't shave on Chol HaMoed. And what happens? You look like a slob. So he continues, V'hineh lo nishar lo derech lehitnasel, ki'im bro'om lo lo, i'efshar belavach ki'im et galech b'omedo avor takanatam, v'im lo et galech avor takanatam. The guy will have no choice but to say, listen, logically you're right, but if I shave on Chol HaMoed, I'm violating a rabbinic enactment. And if I don't shave on Chol HaMoed, I'm also violating an enactment, I look like a slob. Meaning, I'm doomed. Which, by the way, is one of the reasons why Rav Soloveitchik, others felt that people that shave every day, this doesn't apply to. But it does look strange. It does look strange. So a guy just reads Shulchan Aruch straight, says, you're not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. He doesn't. He shaves on Erev Yontif. He looks like a slob. So what's going to happen? The non-Jewish Italian will go back to the church, or go back home and say, wow, these Jews, they're a bunch of idiots. Wow, they're morons. These people can't think straight. He just told me he's supposed to look nice on Chol HaMoed, and what's his way of looking nice? He doesn't shave. It doesn't make sense. So you gave him a sword in their hands to push into the Jewish people. Let's continue. Ki yomar shetiknu betvarim hafchim ze mize. They'll say you made two takanot and they contradict each other. You said you can't shave on Chol HaMoed in order to come into Yontif looking nice. So what happens at the end? I said it wrong. You can't shave on Chol HaMoed because on Yontif we don't want you to look like a slob. What's going to happen at the end? You will look like a slob. And then he gives it vividly. And everyone says Judaism is a bunch of mockery. They make no sense. It's like Immaculate Conception. It doesn't make sense. They made a takana that you should look nice on Chol HaMoed and on the first day Yontif, therefore don't shave. But because of it, you look like a slob. So says this Poisek, Uviyegia Yom Acharon Shel Chag. Finally, he comes to Simchas Torah. Asher bo nagil v'nasis b'simchas haTorah v'osim suda u'mishteh l'gamra shel tova. So everyone's dancing and they're doing hakafos and they're doing hakafot shniot. And what is everyone hakafot? Excuse me, not hakafot shniot. They're doing hakafos on Simchas Torah, and they look like they're in avelus. Why? They're all not shaven. Ba'avur kovet azakan u'mayo maray veinu azot. And what will our enemy say? Here, you just gave him ammunition. You want to do a disputation? Here you go. Here's your ammunition. And because of that, maybe we shouldn't go ahead and fulfill this takana of Chazal, because it will be a chilul Hashem. The chilul Hashem will be, you're giving ammunition in the hands of the enemies of the Jewish people. So to sum up, gentlemen, we brought four cases today, which halacha would dictate A, but because of what people might say, we're going to be frumer and do B. Except for the last case, where we're actually not being frum, but actually saying we won't fulfill the takana of Chazal. So you should shave on Erev Yontif, but you should shave every day, because if not, it becomes ridiculous. So indeed, there is a notion in halacha of people might say. And that notion exists. We mentioned a convert after conversion with regard to avelus and honoring his parents, food forbidden to non-Jews, copyright, and finally the last case, not shaving l'chol ha'moed. So it exists. Everyone should know it's out there. And if someone says to you, no, on halacha, I just go straight. Whatever it says in Shulchan Aruch, I can care less. No. You have to also think how it looks. And let me just end with this point. There are people out there that say, oh, I'm a good Jew. Whatever it says in Shulchan Aruch, I do. And sometimes when they do it, they make themselves look ridiculous. And I told you the famous case I repeated endlessly about the guy who got up to Shmoneh Esrei in the parent landing, and he stood up Shmoneh Esrei. And five stewardesses tell him to sit down, and he wouldn't. And he thought he did the right thing. So first of all, he was an ignoramus. You're allowed to daven sitting down. But second of all, forget about ignoramus. There was a Chilul Hashem. Everyone's in their seats. Everyone's keeping safety. And he's the only one that's not. And he'll say, what do you mean? It says in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to stand up for davening. So I stand up for davening. That's being, excuse me for saying so, what we call in Hebrew, Rosh Katan. I'll say it in my language. I like the better phrase, Rosh Bakir. What's Rosh Bakir? You bang your head in the wall. And because you bang your head in the wall, you say dumb things. There is a Shulchan Aruch, and as I always said, that's when your teeth are white and everything's perfect. There's a Shachris, there's a Mincha, there's a Ma'ariv, everything's perfect. Halacha begins to sprout up creatively when things don't work out like mathematics. And we saw cases right here. So yes, what they might say is a notion in Halacha. It's not part of halacha, it's not a part from halacha, it's part of the halachic debate, and we have to take it into consideration when we paskin halacha.